Hey guys, you're on with Ashley Goring, and I hope everyone is staying safe during this pandemic as we're coming to an end with it. It seems like at least a little bit. We have a very heated episode again today, which is on Black Lives Matter, and I have on with me Will. Hey, Will.
Hey, Ashley, how are you?
Good, how are you? No, this is not Will Smith, everyone, but this is my brother-in-law, Will.
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're hanging in there today?
Hanging in there, pretty much trying to do what I do every day.
Yep.
That's so crazy, everything going on, so.
Yeah, so we're just going to jump right into today's topic of Black Lives Matter. And I really want to say it as much as possible, Black Lives Matter, because I think it's something we really need to say a lot of right now.
It's true, and it is true, but and it's sad the fact that that has to even be said.
Oh, I agree.
It's really frustrating, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you have Black Lives Matter, but then, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there who just will throw that All Lives Matter thing, and it goes without saying all lives do matter.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
All lives do matter, but the fact you have to say Black Lives Matter is telling all in itself. And it's not just that the fact it's a movement, like, you know, a lot of people are using George Floyd, you know, it's sad that what had happened to him, you know, and like a lot of people use George Floyd, and George Floyd was like a catalyst for this whole movement to take off. But what's happening is this movement is more about just one person. It's about all the stuff that's gone on for all the years that this stuff's gone on with the police, constantly brutalizing people.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start here. So that all my listeners know, my brother-in-law Will is a Black man. So because my listeners can't see you, so that they're aware, you are a Black man. And I want to know what is going through your head right now. Like, how do you fucking feel today's world right now? You know, like, tell me your true feelings of what is happening here.
My true feelings?
Yeah.
I'm angry. I'm pissed off, but at the same time, like, let it fucking burn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Straight up, let it burn. Like, you can only, you know, put your knee on the backs of Black people for so long before shit had, like, people are finally starting to take notice of what's going on. I can't believe it's taken this long for people to actually take notice and realize. But, like, something is really happening now, right? So, you know, like, again, this is a long time coming. And you have police now acting like they're the victim. Come
mm-hmm,
on, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Well, it's quite crazy because, you know, now you tell me how you feel about this. If what happened to George Floyd didn't happen, do you feel like we would have heard of Breonna Taylor and that? Like, do you feel like we would have heard of these other names that are now coming out and everything?
Yeah, so that's the thing is Breonna Taylor, I'd heard about before. Now, George Floyd, like, this is, if it wasn't for videotapes, phones and all this stuff, we would never see any of this, and it would just be swept under the rug because what we get is the police narrative, and that's what we're supposed to believe.
Right.
And the thing is, like, these are people. They lie. You know, mm-hmm. they don't tell the truth. They lie. They do the wrong things all the time. They're out there, like, policing people, but still breaking laws themselves.
Of course they are. Yeah.
You know, and like what you have is, like, you have right now, like, you have this defund the police. And a lot of people don't understand what this means. And like the police, they should be defunded partially. Mm-hmm. And a main reason for it is because, honestly, like, you have police that are like out policing citizens, but they're policing citizens with military equipment. Why do cops need to protect, serve and protect citizens of a city dressed like the military? You want to fight a war, just be like, go fight a.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree. I completely agree with you in regards of the, you know, having all the SWAT gear and everything. You know, of course, when the police bring out all the SWAT uniforms and everything like that, that's where we're going to see now these protests turning into more of the riots that we're seeing, right? I mean,
and that's exactly what's going on.
You know, and back in, what is it, in England, in that, you know, the police there. I can't really recall it today, but for so long they only had batons ever.
They still don't carry guns.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I was pretty sure. I don't believe these. And you know, and I'm just not to say that corrupt police aren't there either. You know, like, corruption is everywhere in the world, of course. No one's going to deny that. But you know, to go to the extremes of having Now, okay, so there's the other side of what police say. Well, the problem is that so many people in the States, for example, own AR-15s. And so we need to make sure that we have this kind of stuff as well. Well, I mean, the gun topic is a whole other topic to begin with. But
and that exactly.
But the protesting itself, it's a protest. Like, we don't need SWAT teams here.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. Like, we have the Second Amendment. So we're allowed to own guns. We are, like, I'm American. So if you guys don't know that, I'm American. So we are allowed to own. It's our constitutional right. Yep. Now, because we're allowed to own guns does not mean that the cops have to be able to come in there blaring at us. Right.
No,
it's just like, and that's where you get a little bit of a difference. I don't understand. This is where I don't understand is, if it's our constitutional right, why do you come at us with your guns drawn? And that's not just me. That would be like, you know, they do that to almost anybody. And like, they feel like they have to have this extra power, this extra thing over you. And they can't. What ends up happening is, like, you know, you have these cities where the police have a third of the city's operating budget. And then what you end up having is like a police force that's it's a overfunded, hyper militarized occupying force. Mm-hmm. And I choose my word very carefully, occupying force, who are supposed to serve and protect because they're paid by the taxpayers to serve and protect. But what they're really doing, because they're not trained, is they come out and they fucking they just escalate and abuse. All that ever ends up happening.
It's abuse of power.
It's constant, and it doesn't matter where you are. And like, yeah, you can say, oh, it's only a couple cops. It's only a couple cops or a few bad apples. Don't give me that few bad apples crap. If you were going to buy apples from me and I had an orchard and I use it, like, you know, if I had an orchard, you're going to buy apples from me. You're going to buy anything from me. And I had a whole bunch of them. I was like, you know what? That'd be careful. A couple of those are bad. And you said, how bad? And they said, you know, I told you they kill you. You'd be like, holy fuck, man, that's a bad orchard. That's a bad batch. Like, all of it's bad. Like, you wouldn't even test it. You wouldn't even want to try. So
that's an interesting metaphor. Yeah, it's an interesting metaphor to put it that way.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't even try it. So, like, they need to go right back and, like, and just sweep it all out and, like, full reform. Because, like, it's a performance-based system. You know, police, their job is to arrest people. Regardless.
Right, and
look for something to arrest.
And well, really, in a police's job, the way, because, you know, like, I always wanted to be a police officer growing up, actually. It was one job I actually always loved. And what I always understood a police officer's role to be was to keep peace, right? So when something escalated, it wasn't about taking out your gun and shooting, you know?
Exactly.
That was the last resort. What your job was to do was, you know, you're trained to know how to disarm someone holding a knife to you. You're trained to be able to, you know, use your hands and disarm someone. Like, that's what I always understood, to keep peace, because shooting was a last resort.
And I think that at some point has maybe gotten worse, because, like, I do remember police used to carry, you know, batons and billy clubs, and like, the gun was the last thing that they would pull out. You know, you didn't hear about somebody walking around with a chain driver and getting shot by the police. You know, they had to, like, be doing something serious. Now it's like they come up and it's just pull out their gun. We're citizens who are supposed to be able to follow every direction with a clear head with a gun pointed at us, but these assholes can come in, pull out a gun, and like freak out and shoot you. And like, they're not, like, they're trained and they're not even held to the same standard as like untrained civilians are.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. So I saw a video on, I can't remember where it was. It popped up on social media somewhere, and it was actually from about 2 or 3 years ago. And this woman, and I think, I don't know who she was behind the scenes. I think she was a Black woman though, because she kept saying, like, I've witnessed my own boyfriend being shot by the police and everything. And she kept telling the guy who was being chased by the police, and that she said, just stop, put your hands up. Don't give them a reason to shoot. And it was actually, what was scary about the whole thing was how many police showed up to this guy. And the only reason they were chasing this guy was because They were given a description. It was a black man that had robbed a convenience store. But the amount of police that had surrounded this guy and held guns on him, you know, like the guy literally had his hands up, didn't have anything in his hands. And I mean, even if he had a gun in his pocket, his hands were up the entire time. You know what I mean?
It's excessive.
There was probably about 20 cops there, 20 of them pointing these huge guns at him. And like, what I don't understand is why no cop is stepping forward going, hey, his hands are up. Let's like one of us approach him. And instead about 14 of them approach him. There's no need for that.
No. And that's the whole thing. It's like they won't. And they almost never, ever, ever do. And the ones that do, they get reprimanded. It's not the cops that are doing the bad shit that get in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's the cops that speak up, they get in trouble. So yeah. There's no incentive for them to speak up and do anything. And then what ends up happening is like they cover for the other ones. So those cops, even though they come in with good intentions, end up being just as bad as the bad cops.
And that's actually something that Tim has brought up so many times, since he said, you know, just because there's good cops out there, the thing is those good ones have seen and covered up the bad ones.
Yeah.
And like, I don't disagree with that. There are good cops out there, but I don't disagree in the fact that they probably have seen the bad ones do shit and just said nothing, because it's like a brother's club, you know, blue, what is it called? The blue family, right?
Yeah.
And
the blue, and that right, like that right there is just wrong, because like these people are out there policing us, you know, and they need to be held to a way, way higher standard than they hold us to.
Oh, exactly.
Way higher standard. And the thing is, like, if they end up doing something wrong, it shouldn't be like, oh, this guy's been a cop for this long, let's like just slap him on the wrist. No, like throw the fucking book at them, because like if I was to go out and steal a fucking chocolate bar, I'd be sitting in jail right now if I got caught.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter.
It should be set in as an example with what happened with George Floyd. That officer that killed him, you know, he had a rap sheet that was huge, and he was under investigation at that time too. He had already killed multiple colored people. He had already been under investigation. I can't remember what the investigation was at that time when he had killed George Floyd. But like, how does a cop still continue being a police officer with that kind of rap sheet themselves?
It's because of the police unions. Like they have to go into these negotiations with these unions, and the unions have a lot of power, and they negotiate what and how these cops can be reprimanded for the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So and if you look at it, go ahead and look at the news, look up any of these police union presidents, they are vicious. Oh, I've killed this many people, doesn't bother me, blah, you know, they all say this shit, and like they're super, super harsh, but you have to realize, like, look at them. These people are voted in. They are a direct reflection of the people that have voted for him.
Right, right. Yeah.
Again, just for their position, how they are, that shows you a lot about the people that are voting them in. So, yeah. You know.
Right, right. I mean, and you know, Will, I can really hear, like, the passion and like anger in your voice, you know, and I can, you know, and I can't completely understand, because I'm not a black person, so I can't completely understand your anger, but I feel, because I can hear it in your voice of like how angry, you know, it's frustrating.
You're always fucking suspect just because you're sitting there, you're fucking suspect. You know, they walk up to you and ask you questions because they automatically assume you did something, like just because you're black, or you shouldn't fit the fucking description.
So, okay. So you have made the comment that you are from the U.S. and everything, which I did know. And now you live in Canada and that. So tell me the difference kind of with the U.S. and Canada. Is it worse in the U.S., would you say? Like, what do you feel? Do you feel like there's a difference or no difference?
So the people in general are a little bit different. I've experienced racism both sides of the border. I can be honest, one of the most racist places I've ever felt has been Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada.
Oh, okay.
Insane, man. Insane. When I first went there, it was a lot of skinheads. That being said, no matter where you are, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in the States, anywhere in Canada, the cops are still the same.
Well, and I really want to people to really hear that, because people, you know, out here in Canada keep kind of, there's been times where you've heard like, I don't really see racism so much out here. We always hear of it in the States and everything. But that's why I want to ask this question, because I want people to hear it's fucking here.
Oh yeah, it's here. It's here. And like, it's always been here. Mm-hmm. Don't get that shit twisted, man. Like, you know, the way they treat black people, like that's just one thing. don't even get me started on how they treat natives, especially in Canada.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, come on, man. This is the most racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't get it twisted. Like, these cops, they come from these like small communities, like the one I told you, like where I moved, Mount Brunswick. Yeah. They push like sign up for RCMP. They don't go back to those communities. They go all over the country. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter whatever views these people have. They're taking that into their jobs with them. They're finding like-minded people, and they're getting together and they're.
So what kind of stuff have you, like, is there like some minor stuff that you can kind of tell us, or maybe there's some major stuff that you really want to tell us, like that you have dealt with as a Black man?
Well, obviously I've dealt with police nonstop.
So are you scared of
like
the police?
I used to get in trouble scared of the police, but the thing is at this point now, like when I have to deal with them, I do not deal with cops. I won't talk to them. I won't call cops. I don't need them. I'm a firm believer there's one way to add years to your life, and that's never call the police.
Okay.
Especially if you're Black for any reason at all. When I was younger, like I used to have a lot of contact with them, and it was nonstop. I remember one time, I'm in Canada, I was using a payphone, and I had three cop cars pull up because I was on the payphone, and the cop said to me, "I know everybody in town, I've never seen you."
What? Really?
And yeah. And that's how it starts. And all it takes is just one person not to have a liking, or one little thing. It's just like it goes and goes and goes and never stops. And like I said, it's a performance-based thing. So it doesn't matter like what you're guilty of, or even if you've done anything, if you think you've done something and they can arrest you for something that they see, they will. That's how they
make it. That's crazy.
Well, it gets even worse. The prosecutor, it doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent, it's what they think they can prove. So they're going to put you in jail if they can.
Right.
It's all performance based, and it shouldn't be.
No.
It shouldn't be.
No.
And, you know, again, the cops, you know, like they go and they say, okay, we're going to put cameras on them. But some of them don't wear cameras, or they say, oh, it wasn't recorded. Well, the thing is, they should have cameras on them that film in real time. And if a cop wants to cover the fucking camera or cover his name or do anything or mute the shit, fire them on the fucking spot, no questions asked, and you don't get a pension.
Right.
And they should also put personal liability, make the cops carry personal liability insurance, because when they go and fuck somebody up, the fucking taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should not have to pay for that shit.
No, exactly. Now,
so they're kicking our ass, and then they're making us fucking pay for it too.
Yeah, and that's absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, it came out just the other day that this Derek, and I can't remember his last name, it's Shalvin or something like
Chauvin.
That.
Yeah.
And you know, that he's still gonna get a pension, apparently, after all this. And that's insane. That's insane. I mean,
his pension should be forfeited.
Oh, if anything, his pension should go to Black Lives Matter, is what it should be going to at this point in time. You know what I mean? Like
Or the fucking man he killed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
You know, so in your opinion, so have you gone to any of the protests in that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
You did? And how did you feel about it?
This is a weird question, because like, I did have a little bit of a mixed feeling. I was so happy to go out and see all these people out there for one cause.
Mm-hmm.
The protest the second one was the one that we went to, and it was I loved the message that it put across. It was anti-racism message, but at the same time, in this protest here, it did have like the All Lives Matter tinge to it, and I feel like it was kind of hijacked in a sense, but at the same time, it still put off a very powerful message, and a lot is changing from it, and I'm very grateful for that. But I do wish that the Black Lives Matter wasn't marginalized by All Lives Matter or LGBTQT all at the same time. You know, like everybody's trying to like tack onto this.
I do agree with that. I do actually agree with that. How do you feel about when someone says to you All Lives Matter? Like, what's your first initial thought to that?
I want to punch you in the face, you ignorant fuck.
So basically a Seth Rogen response, if you will.
Yeah, like serious, man. Like, come
which,
on.
Which I like, completely I'm, like, agree. I completely do agree that that's a, it's, it's, it's so inappropriate to say all lives matter, because no one has made the comment that all lives don't matter at this point in time. Like, it's already known that all lives matter, that that's what we should all believe. The white people's lives are not fucking the ones at stake right now. It's just,
no.
It's like, you know, you've seen all the probably memes going around where someone's like, oh, my leg, and he's fallen and he's got broken legs, and the guy standing there going, well, what about my legs? Well,
what about my legs?
They're fucking fine. Yeah. They're fine. Like, we don't, it's not about that your legs don't matter in the end, but I'm the one that's suffering here.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, you just have to, we matter too, is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? But the fact that you have to explain it and sugarcoat it, it's like, no. Just picture, when you say Black Lives Matter, you're saying Black Lives Matter too. It's like, why do we have to fucking cater? Get your head out of your fucking ass, man.
Well, and I feel like that's what Pride Month is for. That's what, you know, Pride, like the Pride Parade is for, is for, exactly, for them. It's, that's their way of protesting and saying like, hey, we fucking matter. I agree with you in the sense, like, I don't believe it's necessary for all that stuff to be tacked on to this Black Lives Matter movement right now.
Exactly. And I just want to say this, like, I am not, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying or try to take anything away from the LGBTQ community at all, because they have they have major hurdles they've already overcome, and still some to go, and it's constant with them as well, and it's discrimination there as well, and it's just like, there's so much of it that's going on. I don't want it to take away from this, because this is the first time that this is something like this is really happening. You know, people get out and say, oh, Dr. King died. This is the first time in my lifetime like this is happening. Like, this important is happening.
So you actually really do think you're seeing like a change of like white people, more white people actually standing up to this shit now. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, like people actually taking notice, and you're actually seeing what's going on. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, to my white friends, I don't need you to come up to me and apologize to me. You know, don't apologize or anything like that, because that's just, it's kind of clownish. But at the same time, like, you know, you're my friend. Like, I know how you are, so you don't gotta apologize for anything.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that people are out there and, like, you know, making it a point that Black lives do matter, and like, fighting racism in every way they can. And like, you know, I'm sitting, every day I would get up, look at my phone, and be pissed off within the first half hour of the day, every single day, like angrier than shit because of these videos. Now I'm kind of happy because I see these same races losing their jobs everywhere. So all day long I'm smiling.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's, yeah, no, I completely understand. I mean, we're living in such a complicated world right now, you know, on so many levels of the pandemic, and then now this Black Lives movement and everything like that. And, you know, it's really interesting because, like, you know, we've been trying to, you know, obviously we haven't been going to crowds and that with the pandemic, but when it came to this, you know, when people were like, well, so what, it's okay to be in a crowd with a protest with all these thousands of people? And you know what, we wore masks and everything, also because I think, you know, just with how heated this movement is right now, we wore masks like out of like a protection reason too, because for me, when we went to the protest, Tim stood in the, like, protesting and everything, I actually stood in the line, so basically protecting the stage from anyone approaching, you know, all of the Black speakers and that, right? So we were the line that stood there. So we wore that was one of the other reasons that we decided to wear masks, is in protection, right? That, because there is like the white group out there that is completely against all this and that. And I don't know if you had any issues at your protest. We had one issue come up where they approached from the back of the stage and tried to cause havoc, and it didn't take long until a police officer finally took them out. The police weren't at our protest, they weren't allowed to be, but of course they're going to be around in the back, right? Because there is thousands of people standing in one area.
So here it wasn't bad at all here. Everybody had a mask. I would say at least 99% of the people were wearing masks, and the police stayed out of it, which was good. But there were a lot of people. It was a thing to see.
Well, and you know, Ice-T actually acknowledged Vancouver for it too, of how many people showed up. You know, and that is, you know, it's so, we, you know, just our protests also went like worldwide too. Like, you know, the US saw of what we were doing, right? To stand up against this now too.
It's great. Like, it's, you know, what's funny is like all eyes are on the US, and it's pretty sad because, you know, you hit a point right now. And like you said, it's like a weird time. It's, you have COVID and you have these police things, and it created a perfect storm. And it just showed right now how bad the US really needs a leader, and the lack of a leader, the leadership that it has. Because when the whole world is really looking at the US, they're really making a fucking ass themselves.
Well, and how does, like, I mean, so how do you feel with the president they have in house? Like, you know, like, I can't even imagine, like, that you even have enough words to, like, describe how you feel about this.
No, the guy, like, come on, man. Like, you have people that, like, picked a reality show person who, I don't think anyone ever did a little bit of research, ever touches, turns to shit. Like, come on, you didn't think that he was going to become president and turn the country to shit? Like, that's it. Like, well, we're living it, man.
What's crazy to me is how did the states, you know, the US, go from a black president to like one of the most like hates women, hates, you know, like rights for people, basically is a racist. Like, how did the states go to that?
I think that it has to do with a little bit of white fear. I would also say Republican fear there's a lot of shady dealings that go on within the government. Like, there's these things, it's called gerrymandering. And what they do is they negotiate and move county lines all over the place to try to wheel in voters a certain way. And then they pretty much defranchise the other voters, give them shit that doesn't work, ship them out to different places. During a race, and especially with the Republicans and the Democrats, the fewer people, if you have an election where less people vote, they're more likely going to vote Republican. So it's always better where less people voting. It's a weird, weird thing, and it's really, really sad.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to touch up on what I said about in regards to Christians voting. Like, I do believe he, you know, the president that's now, and I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to acknowledge him like that. You know, I do believe he is always trying to get the religious vote, you know, and the hardcore Catholics and everything like that.
Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. He's trying to get the religious vote, but he's not trying to get the vote of the actual people that are actually really religious. He's trying to get the vote of the evangelicals,
right?
The nuts, you know, the televangelists. Yeah. These people, like, they're out ripping people. It's sad because their people don't see it, but those are the people that he's pandering to. Because, like, you know, if they're true Christians, they're like, if they say they're true Christian, they're really how they say they are, then they're not believing this shit. Right. But at the same time, right? Like, I have this argument with my sister. Like, she's very, 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 very religious. Not. But, you know, like, we have a lot of Christians that would say, you know, that it's like this and not like this. But they'll use God as a reason to point and poke fingers and alienate. And it shouldn't be like that. God shouldn't be something that's used to alienate people or to separate or divide. It should be something that brings them together. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
Right. So did you listen to my last podcast with Richard Demsick?
Demsick, he's the running guy.
Yeah, the TikTok video guy.
I didn't I started to listen to it, but I did not sign into my thing. So I started to try to get a piece of it here before I talk to you.
It's all good. But you've seen his TikTok video, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So what did you think of his TikTok video? Like, let's talk about that. What did you think of it, of what he did?
That's typical of exactly what would happen. Like, you know, you can, being white, you can run down the street with a television in your hand. Nothing happens to you. You can walk down the street with an AR-15. The cop will come up to you and give you back your gun and let you go along your way. You're black, you get shot for either of those.
Oh, you get shot for carrying Skittles. What? That was Trayvon Martin, right? Skittles.
Yeah. Pellet gun, anything. It's a cell phone. Like, it doesn't matter where they start pulling that trigger. They shouldn't even be pulling the gun out until they know you have a gun.
Well, again, it goes back to why, you know, like, if you don't see a gun, why are they just assuming that this person has a gun? Like, especially a young kid. you should, why are we not assuming it's a toy gun?
Right?
Like, that's what I don't get. And you want to shoot a friggin' young kid and kill a kid? You know, like, for all you know, maybe he's, like, running out of his house and taking gun away from a bad situation, and he was terrified and, like, you know what? You know, we have no idea.
And that's the thing, is what they do is they see, and like, now don't get me wrong, see a little 12-year-old white kid, and they'll be like, oh, little, they might say something to you, a black, they see him as an animal, they see him as a criminal right away, you know, like they, oh, it's just, it's, this is hard for me to talk about, because it's so fucking frustrating that that's just how it is, that it's so easy to turn a little black kid into a criminal at a fucking young age and make that carry with him his whole life.
That, and that's exactly something that, yeah, and that's exactly actually what has been talked about. You know, I think that's what Richard was talking about too, is like, if you treat them like this young, you know, like that's the mentality that they see themselves in for forever, right? Is because it's never, they're never being treated differently.
And you fuck their life, man. Like that, like anytime that you talk to the police, there's a record of it that you talk to them. And then, like, that follows you. Like, you don't ever want that shit to follow you around, man. Never.
No, no. And, like, I don't know if, I don't know if my sister's ever told you, like, my second mother was a Black Trinidadian woman. So I was actually raised by a Black woman. And so for me, like, I know for me, I was brought up around a Black culture, a Black woman, a Black family. And I just never really saw difference. And I think partially what an issue with today is kids are constantly being stuck at home doing their own thing. People don't want to trust that, like, you know, community can help you raise your kid and everything as much anymore. And I don't think kids are seeing enough different culture anymore. I really don't.
No, I don't think they are. And like, I do notice that, like, you think about it though, like, look at our parents. And it goes back, our parents did way more, or like, look at our grandparents. Our grandparents did way more than our parents ever did.
Yeah.
Way more at a younger age. And our parents did way more than we did at that age. And look at us, and then our, it's just less and less and less and less and less.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's intentional. I just think that part of it is like us wanting to do more for the kids, but at the same time, it's we're hindering them in a way as well. By doing too much for them in the beginning, I think.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I mean, so this movement, like, as soon as this started and everything, like, I had a really hard time. Like, I didn't fully, like, talk about it, like, for a few days when this all started, because I was so more outraged, and all I kept thinking about was my Auntie Liz. Like, cause she passed away a couple of weeks before Tim and I got married, which was devastating for me. And all I kept thinking about was her. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, so yeah. What? They have a different color skin. Who fucking cares? Like, I don't get it. Like, how could you fucking, like, this woman literally was a woman that raised me and everything. Sure. She had different color skin. I didn't fucking care. No, I didn't ever notice, like, why is this such a fucking big deal? I don't care if you're fucking purple, green, like, what, why does this fucking matter so much anymore? It's year 2020. Why are we still doing this?
And that's the problem, is because we've never dealt with it. Never admitted that there was, like, that there's been a racism problem. And that's the whole reason. You know, you have to deal with it. You got to get it out there, admit there's a fucking problem, and start chipping away at how to eradicate the problem. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Racism in big government institutions and stuff, that's got it.
And yeah.
Out those police and, like, change it. There needs to be full reform everywhere, sweeping change everywhere to make things better.
Right. And and you know what? And so that's just it. As a white person, that's not what I would have seen. Like, I'm standing here saying, like, it's year 2020. How is this still going on? How is this still around? But it's like, what you're saying, you're bringing it to a different level that I haven't thought of. Like, it's because it hasn't been dealt with. It needs to be dealt with for it to end.
And they say, yeah, this has happened because of this. But, you know, the things that have, you know, where someone's come down and gotten in trouble for it, they're very few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, Black people getting beat the fuck up every day. You know, you look at all the shit with going on with George Floyd, and, like, after that and all these protests going on, and you're still watching videos of cops brutalizing people every single day.
Well, still, and I mean, the, the First Nations chief. I mean, that was, wasn't that just last week?
Yeah, brutal.
Like, just brutal. Like, I, you know, when I saw that video, I'm like, okay, so he looks a bit agitated, the chief himself, you know, like this cop, like, I don't know what he's trying to do with all this walking back. And like, I don't know what's going on, why he's even approached them to begin with, what the deal is here. And then the second cop comes in and you're like, what
just comes in swinging?
Like, is this fucking WWE? Like, what the fuck just happened here? Like, how is that even, what?
And when you get to that, that makes me question. It's like you have these roided out fucking cops racing across town to come in to whip their guns out to what? Are you really want to shoot somebody that bad or really want to fuck somebody up that bad? You got to race across town and the first thing you do is jump out of your car, start throwing punches or pull out a gun?
Like, and I mean, and look at, and you know, like we look at like what happened to Rodney King 30 years ago, right? Like just...
Yeah.
Like they could have killed him. Like I, cause I've looked at, I went and researched that. Cause obviously I'm turning 30 this year. So I would not have remembered this at all and everything. Yeah. Right. So, and I've had people tell me like, oh, these riots remind me kind of like Rodney King and everything.
I'm going to tell you something. I remember those riots.
Do you?
And I remember
is it,
those riots.
Is it similar to you or do you feel it's, like it's now similar, it's changing? But
thing is right now, like these people, some, the people riot and looted in some places, but like, yeah, it's very similar. But right now they're protesting and rioting. Okay. Yeah. Like this shit keeps going on. There's only so much people can take. What happens when they start arming themselves against you? Yeah. Then you're going to have a real fucking problem. Deal with it now.
Yeah.
Deal with it now before it gets worse.
Well, and here was what my question was when I was talking to my friends the other day, actually it was yesterday, about the First Nations chief, right? Of that video and everything. And I said, now, why is everyone not getting together right now and protesting now for First Nations, you know, for Native people and everything? I said, is it going to take one of them being killed on video from a cop for us to now protest? Like, why is no one throwing a huge protest now in regards to this chief having just had the shit beaten out of him for no reason?
And that's what it is. And like, that's why it goes back right to the whole thing is like, it's, police there, that's where our problem is, and we need to start protesting police all the time. Yeah. all the time until changes are made. Like, you know, it shit just needs to happen. And like I said before, like they come in like that and they're hiding the things. If they are so confident that they're doing the right job, mm-hmm. there should never be a situation where there's no videotape. Or why do you have to go through months and months and months, sometimes years of arguing back and forth to even get this tape, to get the footage.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like that. It should be like, you know what? We had an arrest. Here it is. Boom, done. And if there's a problem, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, and it, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, you know, with the, oh my God, I always stutter on his name, Ahmaud Arbery case, you know, that really, like, we didn't know much about it until a few months after when the video was released. And these guys that murdered him, they weren't even arrested till, what was it, 3 months, 2 months after the fact?
2.5 months later, and it had to go through several different organizations for anything to even happen. And this is what I mean. It's this good old boy, you helped me up. We're friends. The whole blue fucking shield, man. They just cover for each other. It just, this shit never stops. And it's like, it's okay that, like, you do it because you just killed a black man. No big deal.
And I do believe that, you know, because, you know, Tim's gone on his rants about this and everything too, in regards to all of this happening. And he said, like, you know, like they need to start speaking. And I said, look, I said, I do believe once you get a couple of these police officers that have been witnessing this stuff, sure, maybe they haven't done it themselves, but they've witnessed it and said nothing. As soon as we get, you know, a few of these people say something, we're going to start getting more, I feel like, to actually come out, because that's kind of the cycle of what happens, you know, with the Me Too movement, where, you know, the Harvey Weinstein case and everything, one person says something and then another, and then it just fucking like
that snowballs. Snowballs from there. That's how change will, you know, it's pressure and then change from within.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we need to be. I feel like we do also. Yeah, we do need to be pressuring for police to stand up and start fucking calling police out right now. I feel like that's a part of this change that needs to happen, is we need to fucking be like, you guys need to stand up against these fucking bad ones and say something, because you're just as bad holding it in.
just as bad. And that's the thing. A good cop is not a good cop if you're fucking protecting a bad cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, exactly. Why is that so hard to understand? And I'm sorry to come. This is one last thing I did want to say about, you know, these interactions with police, because you have a lot of these videos will come on. You see cops beating the hell out of people. And then you have, you know, well, you don't have the whole story, or you don't have the whole situation, or you have a whole bunch of bootlickers come on and type comments like, well, we didn't see what happened before. And like shit like that. See somebody getting the shit kicked out, abused by a cop like that, it doesn't matter what the fuck happened before. If they're handcuffed and in custody, yeah, there's no reason for you to be beating the shit out of them. No reason at all.
No,
so it doesn't matter what happened before that. And then when people say that, that's another piss off. The biggest piss off is when people say that shit is like, well, we didn't fucking matter. Doesn't matter what happened.
No, exactly. And the whole thing is, you know, like, again, like what I always understood with police was, you know, even if like a bad guy, whoever the bad guy is, I don't care what fucking race you are, you know, if a bad guy fucking slugged you, it was, you were trained, from what I understood, to like defend yourself and subdue them, to handcuff them and to end it, not to fucking turn around and beat the shit out of them
after they're cuffed. Yeah. And that's where I think it falls on, just it goes down to the people that you're hiring. And a lot of these people shouldn't be cops. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the fucking public.
It's a different world right now. And, you know, I do think we're, like, from my opinion, obviously I can't speak for, you know, the Black community and everything, but I do feel like this is the first time ever I've seen any kind of, you know, big impact of the white people actually standing up now for Black Lives Matter.
I know. And it makes me happy to see it. It really does make me happy to see it.
And I'm glad. And always know, I mean, you're my brother-in-law and everything, but always know I am an ally. I'm an ally to the Black lives. I really am.
Oh, it's appreciated, and like it shows.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're kind of, you know, like, I mean, we could talk about this stuff for like ever, I feel like, you know, but we do have to, you know, at some point, just talk about the things that we want to talk about. And then I think wrap it up here. And I think we're kind of near the end here of what we really wanted to say and everything. So is there any final words that you do want to say here?
Yeah, I do. I just want to say that, you know, people that you do have there listening, want to do something, get out and protest. You know, speak up when you see something and shit's going on. Videotape that shit. Hold them fucking accountable.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well,
yeah, definitely get out there and protest.
Yes. Please do, everyone. You know, like, there's so much happening right now. Like, get out there, be an ally. And if you're listening to my show and you're not an ally, stop listening to me, okay? Because I don't want you. I don't want you as a fucking listener if you're not going to be an ally, like, straight up. Or hopefully I've changed your thoughts of it, is kind of what I'm actually hoping here. So, you know, I appreciate you coming on today, Will, and everything. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you guys very soon.
Yeah, same here. And thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, and thank you guys so much. You know, look in your areas for what ways you can help and everything, be a part of this movement for Black Lives Matter. And, you know, everyone, follow me on You're On with Ashley Goring on Instagram, and email me if you have any questions or anything, and I can always help you out there too. And everyone, have a calculated day. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Ash.
Bye, Will.
Bye.